If you want a great marriage, it's important to make sure that you're not bringing unresolved issues into the relationship. And on today's Focus on the Family, Pastor Louis Giglio explains how God can help you do that.
I got generational problems. I got abandonment problems. I got abuse problems. I got all kinds of problems in my life. And he's saying, that's fine to have problems, but bring the problems to the foot of the cross.
Through Jesus Christ, you can find emotional healing, and you'll hear how today and tomorrow with Focus President Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
John, today we have what I would call is a fascinating look at the inner workings of relationships from Louis Giglio. Louis is a pastor of Passion City Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He's probably best known for the Passion Conference, which brings tens of thousands of mostly college-age single people together, and they talk about a lot of different topics. Today, Louis's talking about relationships and how to communicate, and whether you're married or unmarried, this will be great information to enhance your relationships today.
And as he goes along in this presentation, Louis has a visual right there on the stage with him. It's a chest of drawers, a dresser, and he uses each of five drawers there to illustrate the 5 points in his message. Here now, Pastor Louis Giglio talking about relationships on today's Focus on the Family.
I think sometimes when you're dating, I was going to say we're dating, but I'm not dating. Sometimes when you're dating, maybe a good question to ask the person, you know, when they're coming to get you is, you know, how big a car do you have? Because I know I'm asking you out, but how much baggage do you have? They ever, you know, ended a relationship, and as you talk to your friends and they said, what went wrong? And you said, man, the guy just had way too much baggage. Well, I have good news for you tonight, good and bad news. We all have a lot of baggage. And the primary source of a lot of the baggage we have is unfinished business with our parents. And I know one thing for sure, I'm not going to be like that, and I'm never going to act like that, I'm never going to do that. And then we set out in our lives to blaze this new trail, and in time discover slowly that we are still bound a whole lot more than we want to admit by things that were passed down to us in the formative years of our lives from the people who had the biggest impression on who we are, and that's our mom and dad. And so tonight I'd like for us to think about it for a moment and maybe ask God to stir some stuff around. For all of us, it applies. For a lot of us tonight, it's going to be a watershed moment for you to finally see that this is the place that I've got to go to before I can go anywhere else. And I was talking to a girl a few days ago, and she said, well, you know, I'm not really sure I need a man in my life. And I said, well, you know, it is okay with God if you're single the rest of your life, but not so that you can prove the point that you don't need a man in your life. That's not okay with God. If it is best for you to be streamlined in your particular calling by God, to be completely free to God, there's a biblical basis for that. But that's different than just saying, I've come to the point in my life where I just don't want the hassle and I don't want to deal with it. And so I've convinced myself that I don't need a man, or I don't need a woman, or I don't need a marriage, or I don't need a family, or I don't need any of that stuff to be fine. I'm fine just like I am. And God's saying, no, not really. Because in my design, in my economy, the vast majority of you sitting in this building, my dream for you is that you would detach from mom and dad, that you would stabilize and allow me to bring a sense of order to your life, and that you would begin to move forward in a mission that I'm giving you for your life, so much so that you can invite someone else to come along. And the two of you joined together could accomplish more for the kingdom of God than the two of you individually could. And God's got a plan like that for almost everybody in this building. But before we can get there, we have to go backwards. I brought this this chest of drawers, which is kind of cool. It came from the factory white. It had a nice white enamel on it. It was a pretty happening thing back then. My earliest memories were of looking up at it. And it hung around with us for a long time. And so much so that I kind of adopted it. I think my sister and I shared a room and had it together, but I sort of, you know, assumed ownership of it somewhere along the way. And I've had it with me for a while. Had it in my closet. In my college years, I didn't want it to be white, because I don't know if you went through that high school college thing where you wanted to paint all your furniture. And so I painted it brown. And how did I paint it? I went and got spray paint, okay, and just painted it until it was brown. And I mean, it takes forever, but you just go at it and you just paint and you paint and you paint, more paint and more paint. And it became this nice sort of chocolate brown color, which was disgusting. But at some point, I decided to renovate. And the brown wasn't working anymore. So I was going to strip this baby down. And so I began to work on it a little bit. I hadn't gotten too far, as you can tell. But I started stripping it down, and I stripped down past the brown, the old spray painted on brown, and I began to get down to the white that came from the factory. Now, that was on there pretty good because it had been on there a while. And then began to strip that down to this. I mean, if you're looking at this right here, you're talking about that's what was underneath whatever came from the factory right there. And that's the bottom line stuff right there. And the point of the whole thing is, for a lot of us, what we want to do with stuff in our past, particularly parental, relational kinds of things, especially the painful ones, is we want to just keep painting over them. It's a better idea if we just keep putting layers on the outside as opposed to getting down to the bedrock and not only getting down to the bottom finish, but actually looking and seeing what's inside the drawers. And our culture's full of this. You know people like this. Their whole life is, you know, what color are they going to be tomorrow? And the next time you see them, it's another layer. And you're like, well, that's a cool look. You know, where'd you get that? And then you see them a couple of weeks later, and oh, it's another look. Oh, no, it's another look. Oh, they've reinvented themselves again. Their hair is another color. And by now, it's like every time you see them, I've invented another layer to put on the external dimension of my life. Thinking somehow if I just keep changing the external layers of me, eventually I'll become a person that I like and that I'm comfortable with, and maybe somebody else will be comfortable with for a long, long time. And what God is saying to us tonight is, A, we've got to strip down. We've got to go below the surface layers. And that's not easy to do, especially in a setting like this. And what God really is interested in your life and my life is he's interested in what's in here. And I think there's some unresolved things in here, and I'll just lay them out for you. There's five drawers, so I picked five things. There might be 55 things, but there's only five drawers, and so we try to condense and come down to five things, and I'll just give them to you. The first drawer, if you looked inside here, I'll tell you what's in here, is generational sin. Generational sin. I hate to ruin the party tonight, but your parents are not perfect. It's kind of a catch-22. You know, I know you guys aren't perfect, but come on, could you just be perfect, you know? Could you do everything right and say everything right and respond to everything the right way and treat me the right way in every single moment? Our parents are the product of Adam in the garden, and the product of Adam's sin is a fallen race, and your parents are dominoes in that chain of events. And so when you came into the world, you came into the world as a product of a fallen mother and a fallen father. And even if they were believers in Christ, even if they've been born again, they still were carrying the DNA of sin in their lives. The scripture talks about in the Old Testament the sins of the father being passed down to the son and to the sons of the son and even the sons of the sons of the son. Some of you, when you came on planet Earth, you're watching from infancy two people who are responding to life in a certain way. They are not the source of your sin problem, but man, did they ever help you fine-tune your tendencies. So you came out of the womb with the capacity to sin, but your mom and dad taught you how to fine-tune that to an art. Let's say that your mom was a worrier. And every time you went to the house, it was, you know, I don't know if you're going to make it back from the U-Totem or from the 7-Eleven or wherever you were going, and what time will you be back, and what's going to happen, and I don't know, and every little thing that happened in your family, she was fretting over it and fretting over you and driving everybody crazy, and, you know, just everything was a big, huge deal, and I don't know if we're going to make it, and every, and, you know, your friend's parents are like, where are y'all going? Fine, whatever. And your mom's like, okay, now where's the theater? Now how are y'all going to get there? Are you going to go to the freeway? Are you going to go to the bathroom? Where are you going? And you're like, ah! In all of your life, you said one common thread. I am never going to be like that. And all of a sudden, now you're, you know, 29, and you noticed you kind of jacked up over stuff. Everything. And you worry. You lay awake at night and you stare at the ceiling. And you're always stewing over stuff. You were taught that early on. I mean, it gets more serious. Some of your parents were addicted. And their addictions, in a lot of cases, are your addictions. You watch their addictions and even in little subtle ways picked up on them. Some of you had a dad that blew up. And you said, I'll never be like that. But now you get in relationships, and I mean, all of a sudden, whammo, something happens, and you just erupt. Some of you had a dad that clammed up. And in our lives, there are a lot of those kinds of things. And we want to just come along and go, you know, I am not going to be like that. I'm not going to be that kind of person. I that's them, and I'm me, and that was back there, and this is now, and that's not a part of my life. And I'm telling you, if you do that, you're making a huge mistake. You and I have to open up this drawer tonight in the presence of God and say, I got stuff in me, DNA in me, taught to me that came from my parents, and I cannot just act like it wasn't there. I can't deny it. I can't stuff it. I can't ignore it. I've got to open up and say, these are my tendencies too. And ask God to come in and do something new in your life. You can, if you're young, in the young side of our audience here tonight, then you can rise up and resist the inevitable pull of DNA if you want to. And we'll all of us that are older will just applaud you and say, go for it. Give it a good shot. But DNA is a very powerful thing. When high school kids will flat out deny it, I mean, they'll just flat out tell you it's not going to happen to me. College kids are starting to get a clue. And all the rest of you single adults that are here, I mean, you're your dad. I mean, you're already him. And so it's no argument anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Have any of you single guys gotten that already and you just looked in the mirror and said, hello, dad? You know, and you just knew it wasn't going to happen. But, I mean, you're already driving, you know, 55 in the left lane. And, you know, you're just catching yourself doing, you know, weird sort of stuff. You're not quite to wearing your work clothes to the mall yet, but you're sort of in between still, you know, trying, not sure, do these loafers go with these shorts? You know, I think they do. And, you know, you're just kind of easing into that place of life, and you ladies know the same thing's happening. And, you know, it used to be you look just like your mom, and you go, no, I don't. Now you're like, yeah, I do. And, you know, it's just you're kind of giving into the whole thing. Well, there's a pull. A gravitational pull called generational sin that's just as strong as the genetic makeup of our lives. And the second drawer is what I want to call abandonment. And in this drawer, because of parental weirdness in some of our lives, we have become abandoned. And what I mean when I say that is specifically through death or divorce or disinterest, one or more of your parents at some point said to you, not with words, but with your summation of what happened, you don't matter enough to me. Now the words were, now I love you and this is not about you. This is about mommy and this is about daddy and this is about our issues and this is about stuff that's complicated and we love you, but this is about us. And what you kept hearing was, this is about me. Because if I'm as great as everybody keeps telling me I am, then you guys would want to live in the same house as me. Or maybe it was a death along the way for you and that parent's just gone. Or maybe they lived in the same house, but they were so disinterested in what you were doing and who you were and what you were about and your development and in participating actively in the stuff of your life that they were there, but there was just a huge disconnect. And at the end of the day, you felt abandoned by that. You may want to sort of just say, look, let's just keep that shut if you don't mind. My dad was a jerk and I don't know where he went. And I don't know when he's coming back and I don't care. Well, you need to care. Because you're going to meet somebody and stand at the end of a long aisle in front of them and say, I'm on board for the long haul with you. And you don't want to bring dad into the marriage and your unresolved differences with him so that all of a sudden you guys are riding down the road a couple of days after the honeymoon and it's getting a little tight in the front of the car because it's you and him and her. Because you've never opened up the drawer and said, God, I'm just going to have to be honest here. I feel abandoned. How do you know you've been abandoned? You see, it goes in two polar ways, but they're strong responses. One response is an inordinate sense of attachment to anybody who's breathing, who will tell me that I'm okay and will include me and connect to me. And you can see people roaming around. They got their antenna up. And I mean, they walk up and it's like, hey, how's it going? But really what they want to say is, do you think I'm okay? Do you value me? Will you accept me? And you feel it. And I mean, if you do say, yes, I value and accept you, it is like whoop, whammo, joined together. And I mean, all of a sudden, it's like every moment, every day, they're calling, they're emailing, they're coming by the house, they're not going anywhere. And they are joined at the hip to you. And you're like, what happened to you? I was just trying to be nice to you. And it's like, whoa, we're like inseparable now. What's the deal with that? And inside, for them, it's an issue of being abandoned and searching out through their life. Somebody say to me that you're going to stick with me. And the other end of it is just as weird, and it's just a stronger response, and it is, I don't need anybody. My mom was an alcoholic, and she slipped out on our family, and it's too bad. I had to find my own way, and my dad remarried two times, and I never connected with either one of my stepmoms, and they were more interested in my dad, and we were sort of like swept into the deal as little, you know, prizes, you know, and she never got on with us. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I was out of there. I don't need him. I don't need anybody. Just keep that shut. And man, you meet a man or a woman, and or God brings someone into your life, and you roll into that relationship, and your subcurrent is, I like you. And I'll be in a relationship with you, but I don't need you either. I mean, if you bail on me, it won't be the first time, and I'll just be fine. And you're going into the relationship already, just walls high, protection everywhere, saying, I love you, yeah, but I'm not going there again. And God is saying, you know, you got to open this up. And let me look in here. This third drawer is kind of interesting. It's what I call enabling. Some of you had parents that were just really whacked out. And for different reasons, they didn't want to be parents. They wanted to be kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about like that? Your parents weren't parents. They were like your friends. And they were more interested in being your friends than being your parents. And you thought it was kind of cool because they let you stay out as late as you wanted to and bought you all the stuff you wanted and, you know, got you out of trouble every time you got into trouble and did whatever you wanted to do because they were afraid to make you mad. And you were a product of that enabling kind of lifestyle so that you were always right. And when you got in trouble, your parents bailed you out. They didn't put any boundaries on your life. They didn't put any authority over your life. They didn't put limits on you. You didn't have a curfew. I mean, you could stay out all weekend and your friends were like, God, I wish I had parents like that. And you're like, man, your parents are so cool, man. Party on. They're like, you know, buying the beer and your parents are like, just, that is wild. But deep inside, you're thinking thoughts like, what's the deal? If you really cared about me, you would put some boundaries on my life. No teenagers ever said that out loud, but a lot of teenagers have thought it. And a lot of you never got parented, and all of a sudden you've made it to 29, and you've never had anybody in your life tell you no and back it up. And if they did, you said, I'll just go find another way. I'll go work somewhere else. I'll go find another person to go out with. I'll go join another thing because I do what I want to do. Always have and always will. And he said, that was kind of a cool way to grow up, but the problem is now you're an enabled irresponsibility bowling ball rolling through life. Now you're a disaster waiting to happen for somebody that makes the mistake of falling in love with you until you open this drawer up and say, I need some boundaries in my life. And I don't need to be enabled. I need to be empowered through God putting me in a place where he can be a father to me and I can be a son. Now down here is what we call starvation. A lot of people in this drawer kind of connects a little bit to the abandoned drawer, but it's a little bit different. Your parents were on the scene all the time, but for you, love was doled out in carefully measured doses. And slowly your soul was starved from the acceptance and the love and the worth and the security that you really wanted and needed most from your parents. You got the hug, but you only got the hug if you did good. And you got approved and you got pat on the back if you made the grade. And maybe some of you ladies and some of you guys too, you know, your dad would say something to you like, well, you know I love you. And because you're a kid and kids don't talk back to their parents in these kind of ways, you'd go, yeah, but what you wanted to say was, well, if you love me, why don't you show me that you love me? Why don't you walk over here and put your arms around me and hold on to me and hug me and say, I love you for free. There are girls here tonight, and it's just true of you that you never got hugged for free. And without that one hug, you've run to 100. And in some cases, you'd stay with a guy all night long. And you'd be willing to suffer the consequences of that if just for a night he put his arms around you and told you that you mattered. You knew that you didn't. And you knew that a week later, you wouldn't be in the picture anymore. But when you're starving, you'll take anything. We can't just shut that drawer. We can't blame the parents. I mean, we can't say, well, it's their fault. I'm dysfunctional. And we're going to see that after this last drawer. But we got to open it up and say, God, I got a starving soul going on here. And I'm not ready for any relationships because I'm going to get in a relationship. And I mean, I'm going to be so whacked out in that relationship. I'm going to demand so much more from that guy than he could possibly give anybody. I'm going to demand so much more from this girl than she could possibly give anybody. You've been in one of those relationships, and I mean, after a couple of weeks, you're like, man, I need a break. I need somebody to let me up for air. And it's just you ended up getting connected to somebody that's starving. And you're the first person that came along, and when you put your arms around them, or they put their arms around you, or when they said to you, you know what, I don't care who you are or where you work or what you do, I accept you just like you are. And man, you fell hard. We're attracted most to the person who will accept us the fastest. And acceptance is a strong magnet. And if we don't let God work in that place, we'll find ourselves getting into relationships that we don't even really want to be in. But the acceptance factor was so strong, we couldn't resist it. Performance-based acceptance. Jumping through the hoops. Living a whole life that way. And now being 29 years old and meeting somebody and not having a clue what it means to love them unconditionally and not knowing what it means to have God love you unconditionally, and a relationship goes weird.
Pastor Louis Giglio of Passion City Church on today's Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. And he's illustrating for the audience as he goes along with a chest of drawers, a dresser there, and we'll hear the conclusion of his presentation next time.
John, this is really good stuff. I'm thinking about sitting with Trent, you know, my teenager, and actually listening to this together because I want him to hear what Pastor Louis's talking about. I want his heart to be filled with wonder. I want your heart to be filled with wonder. What does it mean to have true and meaningful relationships with your spouse, with your family, yes, with your mother-in-law? How can that happen? And I think what Pastor Louis is talking about here, it will provide the kernels of wisdom that he's gleaned from Scripture to be able to do that. One of the things that caught my attention was his mention that the Bible talks about generational sin, that our Creator acknowledges that bad patterns can be handed down from parent to child. There's a way to break that. I feel like I broke that in our family. You know, being born to an alcoholic father, I am determined not to give that kind of life to my boys. I want them to have a better life. I know you want your children to have a better life. And we've just heard that from Pastor Louis Giglio, and we're going to come back next time and hear more.
Well, there is more to come, and I sure hope you can be with us then. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller.
Today's message from Louis Giglio has been a powerful reminder that we all bring something into our relationships, often without even realizing it. I love the chest of drawers that Louis used as a visual to help us unpack the emotional baggage that can sabotage our marriages if we're not careful. He challenged us to stop repeating unhealthy patterns we've learned from the past and instead begin forming new life-giving habits that flow out of a real relationship with God. Whether you're married, engaged, or hoping to be one day, these truths are essential for building a strong, lasting connection. If you missed part of the program or want to share it with someone else, you can listen again on our website at safamily.co.za or through the Focus Africa app. And if you're struggling in your relationship, don't forget, we have caring Christian counselors available to talk with you and help you find a way forward. Call us on 031-716-3300 or click the counseling tab on our website at safamily.co.za. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Graham Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.